I'd appreciate your prayers and the car to save your attention a little while. I have kind of an unusual thought for me. I propose to talk about Abraham and his calling from God and Lot in relation to that. I was listening to a message that Brother Isaac Chandler preached a long time ago. He just mentioned in passing about Abraham. He said Abraham made a mistake in his effort for God because the Lord told Abraham to leave his kindred and go into a land that the Lord had shown him. And he did that with the exception of Lot. He took Lot with him. And it seemed like the Lord has expanded on that a lot in my mind the last while. So I'll try to work with it a little bit and try not to be tedious. And I'd appreciate your prayers. Sometimes I am tedious anyway, so I ask you to try to be patient with me. And I'm also thinking of the scripture that said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I think that one bears a little readjusting, maybe, to get the full meaning of it. People, especially if they're trying to get the support of others, like to make the start of an adventure sound very exciting, has great goals, talk about the resources that we have, how able we're going to be to accomplish those goals. Sweep the country with enthusiasm. What was that fellow? Futterman? California discovered gold. People all over the country sold their farms for whatever they could get and packed everything in a Conestoga wagon. They're going out to California and get rich. Sutter, wasn't it? Futterman was killed in a massacre in Wyoming. Sutter's Creek and his discovery of gold, very few of them found it. Better's the end of it. Better is it to say, I got there and I found the gold when you got the gold in your hand, than to talk about what all you're going to do when you get the gold when you're still living in Kansas somewhere and you haven't faced the Indians, the plains, the cholera, and the mountains. And all the other obstacles that are in between. Better's the end of a thing. And I've lived long enough now in my life so that I tend to pay a lot more attention to what people do than to what they say. Sometimes there's a lot of difference, and I've been fooled one time too many. So try to look at what they do. That tells more about the way things are going to wind up than what they say. What the Lord does is exactly like he says. It's safe to trust in him and follow him. So let me run through the story of Lot and Abram, if you will. It's all in the book of Genesis. There are references to it other places, of course, because it's such a critical point in the history of our understanding of God and also of the world. It starts out with Abram in the nation of Ur of the Chaldees. Somehow this man got hold of some understanding and faith in God. I am amazed how the Lord finds ways to deal with people. He dealt with the wise men who came following the star by their understanding of science. He dealt with the sailors who were on a ship with Jonah by the insight that Jonah gave them as he was about to be thrown into the sea. Those men who had probably never even considered worshiping any other but their idol gods before that incident was over, sacrificed or worshiped to Jonah's God. They didn't get on that ship intending to do that. God works with people from wherever they are, by whatever means are necessary, by experiences in our lives, by revelations, by visions, by teaching handed down through the years. He loves us. The great underlying story of God's dealings with all of us is that He loves us and He's trying to get us headed the right direction. I don't know what it was that made Abraham special, but God was able to work with him. And the scripture tells us that God gave Abram a command, get up out of the country where you are, leave your kinsmen, and go to a land that I will show you. God's interest, His plan, and Abraham's idea of a good life are not the same. It's that way with all of us. Abram was a man. I make some assumptions in saying this, but looking at what he did when he got into Canaan land, he spent his life building up his herds, getting goods, camels and sheep and things like that, traveling through the land, living a life there in Canaan. That's what he did. That's how he spent his time. God was interested, beginning with Adam's failure, He was interested in finding a way to reconcile man to God. In order to do that, He needed to set aside a people who were not so much influenced by the heathen culture that was going on around them. And He had to have somebody who would be strong enough to do that in order to build a people. That wasn't what Abraham had in mind, but the two are not irreconcilable. Abraham had a good life and still followed what God wanted him to do. You and I can be the same way. We can have a very good life and live in God's plan, but there are things about it that Abraham had to learn completely from God. He never would have thought that way by himself. To imagine that out of me is going to be created and race a nation of people different from any other people anywhere else in the world, having their own religious belief, having their own code of law, having a kingdom that'll last through the centuries, still a part of the world, your world and mine today. I don't think that's what Abraham was thinking about when he said, well, I feel a dealing in my soul and I need to respond to God, and started feeling out after him. He lived among people who worshiped all kinds of different gods. Somehow he was strong enough and got enough vision and insight from God that he recognized him as the one true God. God revealed himself to Abraham to that extent. And Abraham followed that. But I don't think he had all of this idea in his mind of what Israel ultimately turned out to be. That was in God's mind. But God was eager. It's clear to me that God was eager to bring Abraham into it, teach him as much about it as share it with him, maybe is a way to put it. In reading the Bible, I'm reminded of a guy who falls in love with a girl. If you ever watch them in the early stages of their romance, just can't, it's almost like they cannot refrain themselves from using little terms of endearment. You know, don't call anybody else sweetheart, but when you fall in love with a girl, you start thinking of those words that your dad used to use if you had one, honey and sweetheart. Can't stop finding ways to do that. The Lord's that way all the way through the Bible. Behold, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Yea, with loving kindness have I drawn. It's like he just can't stop himself sometimes from being sentimental toward his people, almost to the point of being maudlin with it, carrying it too far. That's his love. Well, that's what he did with Abraham. I've got this plan. Abraham's, I'm going to qualify him. He's willing. But I want to involve him in it just as much as I can. And so he did. But he did it by first making plain to Abraham what it is you got to do and holding out before him what the consequence, the reward of what he was going to do. Well, it's kind of shadowy, isn't it? Get up and leave your kinsmen. Abraham knew right away what the sacrifice of that would be. That means that all of the times we've enjoyed family times together, we're not going to do that anymore. And I'll be different from the won't fit in the family circle. My life is going to change. But he said, go to a land that I will show thee. Out on a promise. I don't know what's out there. They don't have a land out there. Here I've got a home. I've got family. I've got people around me. I've got a future lined out. There will be people here who help me. If I go God's way, I've got to turn all of that loose and follow something elusive, uncertain, unclear. It's just a land that the Lord will show me somewhere. I won't even know when I get there that this is it until the Lord tells me to stop. That's the way it is for everybody who lives a life of faith. Folks, if we live for the Lord, we have got to get a call and to turn our backs on the things that seem most valuable in the eyes of the world, but are foolishness, really, in the sight of God. To reach out for something that is vague and uncertain, we cannot clearly see with our literal eyes. Could I say a world beyond this one? Have you ever looked into heaven? No, I've tried. But there are things over there that the mortal eye can't see. Abraham is a father of the faithful. And if you and I follow in his footsteps, we won't have to walk by faith too. Every life that is worth living begins with a vision like this and a renunciation. He turned his back on his people. The scripture said he could have gone back to it if he'd have been mindful of doing so. He turned his back, maybe not so much the persons of the people, but the culture, the time, the worshiping many gods and all that goes along with that in order for him to be free of it. And you could say, why couldn't God have given Abraham his vision in Ur, in among the Chaldees? Perhaps he could. But he needed to separate him from all of that influence in order for him to really be the clear person that the Lord wanted him to be. And folks, it is still the same with you and me. If we walk with the Lord, we are going to find a separation between us and the world. The world around us is not going toward a peaceful eternity. And if we follow in its footsteps, we too stand to lose our never-dying souls. All religious life, all spiritual life with the Lord begins with a revelation like this man had and a renunciation. And I want to ask you to consider again what the effect of that renunciation was. I don't think Abraham saw it at all, but from this came the nation of Israel. From this came the Ten Commandments. From this came the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. From this came salvation to your soul and mine. It is impossible for you and me to calculate the benefit of our living for the Lord. He takes a little bit of sacrifice and he makes it go a long ways beyond what we ever dreamed that it was possible it would be. And folks, in following the Lord, it is so important that we listen to what he tells us to do. Remember, he has the vision. He knows far more than we. He is leading us where he wants us to go. If we seek to fulfill righteousness by our own wisdom, even if we seek to find our own happiness by our own wisdom, we're certain to contradict the plan of God. So consider Lot. Now the story is, see if I can get all these chronologies right. Lot was a grandson of Terah. Terah had three sons, and the third of these, Haran, begat Lot. And Haran died before his grandfather did. So Abraham was his uncle, and he didn't have a father. And Abraham, on the other hand, didn't have a son. That meant more in that country than it does in our country now. I don't want to spend much time there. But to be without someone to inherit whatever you earned was to say, what's the use of earning anything? It was natural, maybe haven't been an uncle a while myself, haven't had some very benevolent uncles, understand, have a lot of compassion to a child that doesn't have the care over them that a father ought to provide. Maybe that's part of the reason that drew a strong bond between Lot and Abraham. Maybe Lot looked to Abraham to fill the role of a father. And it was natural that he should do so. But you see, faith is not hereditary. Just because your father or your mother was a devout person doesn't make you close to God. Every one of us have got to dig this thing out for ourselves. So Abram concluded to go, was willing to go, but he took Lot with him. And the Lord had commanded him, get up and leave your kinspeople. I look at that and I consider what the end of this was and the story of Lot's life. And I say that Lot turned out to be, in the long run, more of a thorn to Abraham than he was a blessing to him down the course of it all. Now, Lot's life, I suppose, you could divide into about four different phases. The first of them is in the land of Ur. And that's where the relationship was formed between him and Abraham. And the second would have to do with the wanderings that Abraham did when he got in the land of Canaan. He was a resident after he moved there, but he was always a stranger. He never quite fit. God had called him from the people among whom he fit and made him so he didn't fit with them anymore. And then when Abraham moved into the land of Canaan, instead of moving into the cities, he pitched a tent outside. The language there is interesting. He pitched a tent, but he built an altar. Outside the tent, he built an altar. And there's a lesson in it. Every residence you and I have in this world is temporary. It's just a tent. This body is called a tent in the scriptures. But folks, we need to build an altar that is a permanent part of our lives that'll go with us all the way from here to heaven. Whatever else comes in our journey. The Canaanites weren't any more friendly to the beliefs that Abraham had than the Chaldeans were. And he, in order to be separate from them, pitched a tent and he built an altar. He didn't go into their city. He didn't practice their religion. He didn't take up their gods and their evil ways. The things that later would cause the Lord to tell Moses, kill all of them when you go in the land. Abram didn't pick up that. He stayed separate. He stayed clear. And God prospered Abraham. Oh, folks, I don't know how to say this like it needs to be said. Lord, help us with it today. This base decision that Abraham made to follow God, and God's using it to direct him somewhere, gave a course to his whole life. All of his life is built around that. And you don't need to come back and revisit that, Abraham. Ask God every Tuesday morning, Lord, do you still want me to live in this land that you gave me? No, that's settled. Every other decision works around that. You understand what I mean? You make a decision to serve the Lord and every other decision works around that. This is always first. This will not be allowed to change. Not only a purpose to serve the Lord, but a particular place in His worship service. God's got a calling for every one of us, folks. That calling gives direction to our lives like nothing else can do. We need to understand what the Lord would have us to do for Him in His kingdom. It's critical to do it. Some of us, He says, go and preach my word. Some of us, He gives, go and help those who are doing that. Some of us, He tells to stay by the stuff. It's God's church, and He sets the members into bodies that pleases Him. My assessment of it is that the one who goes today to be out in the forefront is likely tomorrow to be back here by the stuff. Whatever it is that the Lord gives us to do, we need to do it with our might, because that is what gives focus to our lives. I don't understand. I grapple with the mystery of it. I don't understand the world around us of people who live lives. I'm going to live in this place because it's the clearest water I ever saw. I like to live by the ocean. Or I live in this place because I like the mountaintop. And so I'm living in there. And that's my life. That's all there is. What a waste. What a foolish thing. The only lives worth living are those that are centered on a decision like this man Abraham made. And everything else isn't, it's only vanity and vexation of spirit, as a wise man said. And yet there's a world full of people drifting aimlessly, all in need of this understanding. What is it the Lord would have me to do with my life? Remember how Jesus said it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all these things will be added unto you. Well, Abraham did that. And God faithfully added to Abraham all the things that were made. So Lot went with Abraham. And to think of the opportunities that Lot had so far back near the dawn of creation, he was favored perhaps of many in all the world to follow in the footsteps of a godly man. Well, wouldn't you like to, if old Father Abraham came trudging down the aisle this morning, wouldn't you listen to him pray? Wouldn't you be glad for him to tell you his stories of how the Lord worked with him? Lot was there. He got to hear this man talk. He got to hear the stories of how the Lord visited him. He got to hear the insights. But what did he do with it? He followed Abraham in his wanderings, first out of Mesopotamia, where Ur is, then into the Canaan land, into Egypt, finally back to Bethel in that vicinity where he was in the Canaan land again, and then came the third phase of this situation. Abraham was there because the Lord gave him a vision. Lot was there because he was following Abraham. And I think there must have been a strong bond between them. Have you ever had a friend like that? Somebody maybe that you felt responsible for, or maybe in Lot's case that you looked up to like a father figure, just always had a longing in my life and it was never filled, and I respect this man and appreciate him. Put his hand on my shoulder when I need it, share the joys of life, enjoy one another, sit down, have some lamb together, sit around the campfire, talk about the flames. All the things that people do, share many an intimate and personal moment. It didn't separate from each other. When Abraham left Ur, but they did now, the third phase of Lot's wife, they separated over money. It's a foolish mistake. It's a foolish mistake. Lot, when the contention arose between the herdsmen, I know herdsmen, it meant something different then than it does now, but I still insist on the same point. When the contention arose between the herdsmen, and Abram called Lot to him and said, we don't want to get in a war, you and I. There's not enough room for both of us. So the land is before you. You choose which way you want to go. Lot would have been wise to say, Abraham, I'm going to sell every sheep I got. Sell it to you or anybody else who will bother it, buy it. I didn't come here to raise sheep. I came here to be with you. He'd have been wise to have done that. It would have saved all of them a lot of trouble. But he didn't do it. Somehow, his vision led him look, instead of thinking about what is it talking about? The way that would have brought the Savior into the world, he didn't see any of that. He just saw, well, if I go this way, I get more sheep. In the next phase of his life, then, this third aspect of it, it wasn't long before he got tired of living in a tent. And down here among people who are carrying out the vilest practices of which human beings are capable, but it didn't bother him enough so that he'd be willing to do what Abraham did. Instead of moving into the cities of Canaan, he pitched a tent outside and built an altar. Lot didn't do that. He went and moved into a house down there. At the time when he could have been the most benefit to Abraham, he let him down. And it led to trouble. It wasn't long before the Lord stirred up some kings. I say, the Bible doesn't say that, but I think so. Stirred up some kings, and they decided they wanted to have what people of Sodom had. Went down there, smoked the city, killed a bunch of people, captured Lot, and took off with him. He didn't have any means to deliver himself. He's helpless. I think that was a mercy of the Lord. I think the Lord was trying to help Lot see something. The word came to Abraham. Lot's in trouble. They got him and going to make a slave out of him. Got his family, and Abraham gathered up his trained men, something like 300 of them, went down there and attacked the ones that had got Lot, delivered him, brought him out again. And that was work. Lot went right back into the very same place. And so the moral life of the city around him, although he was oppressed by it, didn't prevent him from living there. He lost his children in it. I think that hurt Abraham. I think of it this way. What is the difference in the life Lot lived in Sodom than the one he would have lived if he'd have never left among the Chaldeans? They were pagan over here and they were pagan over here. And they're carrying out very similar practices. He spent a bunch of years living shoulder to shoulder with a man of God, hearing him pray, feeling the power and seeing the blessings. And when it was over and he chose his own way, he drifted right back into the very same things. There wasn't any difference between what he was doing in Sodom and what he would have been doing in that other place. And look at all of that, and then at the way the sorry story ends, because when we read about Lot, in every case, we find Lot's name mentioned. Abraham, who was a strong, decisive, aggressive leader, we find him being visited with God and God giving him instructions. We find Lot's name mentioned with the goods and with the women. He was back in the background all the time. He didn't show any real character or fiber to protect and shelter that which was his own. And if you thought of the adjectives that would describe Lot, well, you'd think of selfishness and you'd think of cowardice. And you think of greed, and you think of low morality, really. So the angels came to visit. And I want to speak of this point a little bit. God loved Abraham. I think Abraham made a mistake taking Lot with him. I think that by considering the end of it. Maybe I ought to mention the end of the story before I dig into this part of it. The angels came to visit. They told Lot to get out. Lot spoke some of the most ugly, heinous words that are anywhere found in the Bible. I read those things, having been a father of daughters myself, and I shudder and I think, how is it possible that a man could even offer to do what this man did? I don't understand it. How low he'd fallen, how degraded he was from the man he had a chance to be. Half risen from all the sinfulness of that dark rain, and then by his own choice sunk back down into the very depths of degradation, of shame, of cowardice, of darkness. How could you do that? And when it came time to leave, he left only with his wife and two daughters. His wife turned back and he lost her. The Lord spared a little city, Zoar, into which he was free to go and live, but he was afraid to live there, the scripture said, and he went and lived in the mountains. Could you say half animal, half man? Out of him came the Moabites and the Ammonites because of the relationship that his daughters had with him, and they were thorns to Israel the rest of their journey. You look at it and you say this man who one time had so many herds that he didn't have room for them all to live while he was with Abraham. Now he's reduced to living in a cave, probably didn't shave every day, probably didn't bathe every day, half animal, half man. And that's the way that it ended for him, as far as we have any record of him in the scriptures. It's an unhappy situation, isn't it? I think Abram made a mistake when he invited Lot to go with him. But the Lord didn't cut Abram off over that. The Lord worked with Abraham, and wasn't the only mistake Abraham made. And the Lord worked with him in spite of that. People make mistakes. People are human. The Lord loves us in spite of us. Almost seems to me like in the scriptures, he can't stop finding ways to tell us how much he loves us. Even when we fail. Even when we disappoint him. But there are other people besides Abraham who have made mistakes of this sort in their lives. But when it came time, and the Lord saw, I'm going to have to do something about Lot. He considered Abraham. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah are not the only cities the Lord has destroyed. I have to think there's more in this story than just that any time the Lord got ready to destroy a city, he consulted with his servants before he did it. Lot was in the city. Abram was partly responsible for Lot being there. Abram invited him to come. Abram invited him to shelter under his wing and tried to protect him. And when the Lord got ready to do something about it, even though it was probably a mistake for Lot ever to have been there in the first place, God went down to visit with Abram about that. I won't do this without talking to you first. You're my servant. We're doing this together. I'm not only building a great nation out of you by myself, you're cooperating in it with me. Oh, folks, the Lord wants us to cooperate in our lives. He wants us to have a vision of where he wants us to go, shape our lives around that base course, and then he cooperates with us and reveals to us and visits with us, shows us what's going on. Remember the discussion? It's unique in the scripture. Lord, if you find 50 righteous, but who were the righteous he was thinking of? Well, it was Lot. It'd be the first one on his mind. Lot and his children. Maybe his children influenced somebody. Now, that's what the Lord said to him. I'm going down and see. Well, Lord, I haven't been there in a while either. Maybe his children are all saved. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? No. He reasoned with him. I think the Lord knew a lot of this before Abraham ever started. He did this for Abraham's good so that he'd participate in it. There's a lot of hope for me in that passage of Scripture, and I hope it means something for you too by the time we get through with it this morning. People make mistakes in their lives. I cannot overstate the importance of getting a solid experience with the Lord and following His purpose through life. That's what gives purpose. That's what gives direction to it. I think of the scripture speaking about Paul being in a city. And the Lord, he was minded to leave the city, and the Lord told him, I want you to stay here. I have much people in this city. The scripture said he stayed there 2 years. Ministered. I don't think he had to get up every Sunday morning and pray, Lord, do you want me to preach this morning or not? He already knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He had a general direction that gave him instruction, and it's a matter now of only developing that. Can you see with me how that makes life so much simpler? If you got somewhere you're trying to go, everything else then is trying to get there. Help you with it. But if you don't know where you're going, circles. Wandering aimlessly with no direction, don't know how to add things to it. The blessing, the mystery of the Lord is that even if people add things to it that weren't wise, God still loves us. And He will still work with us. Listen to me. Suppose, for instance, I'll put the worst case. Start out to serve the Lord, get tricked some way, get 10 years into your marriage and realize this was a mistake. It's going to affect you the rest of your life. This affected Abraham the rest of his life. He never got free from it. But the Lord loved him anyway. He still had a base purpose. That base purpose still got accomplished. God still made a nation out of him. It became the Israel that's still over there today. It brought the Ten Commandments. It brought Jesus Christ. God will still make something out of your life and mine if you look back in your life somewhere and you see, here is a place that I made a serious mistake and it's been a hindrance to me. Don't judge it simply by anger or disappointment. Look at the fruit of it. I'm sure Lot loved Abraham and Abraham loved Lot. It wasn't their quarrel that they couldn't get along with each other. But Lot didn't have any what Abraham did. He never did consecrate like Abraham did. And the consequence of that was he became a thorn. Look at the end of it. And so after a while, there's nothing for Abraham to do but say, you know, Lord, I wish I'd have followed what you told me to do. I would have been lonelier then, but it didn't help me. In the end, I had just as bitter of a separation, and I had to watch what he went into, and then I had to bail him out of it time and again. I'd have been better off to listen to what you told me to. I can't go back and change it. I bring it to you now and put it in your hands." And the Lord worked with that. Now, I said, I'm going down there and pay him a visit, and I've got to do something about it. But Abraham, I love you. What do you think about this? Did you know the Lord will be that way with us if we make a mistake with a marriage, with a career, with our children? How many parents, I suppose every caring, sensible parent, when their children get grown, have looked back and said, I wish I'd done some things differently. If I could relive that, I would change some things. Well, time only goes one way, folks. And all you can do with it is take it to the Lord and say, look, this is what I got. We're going to have to work with it. Please don't send them to damnation because I was foolish at the time. Please have mercy on me. And the Lord will take that and work with us. Here's what I'm doing in their life. Here's where I see them. Now, what do you think about that? And you actually got the opportunity to reason with the Lord. Isn't that something? When our children's future is at stake, we got the opportunity to reason with the Lord. The key to this is being humble about it. It starts with the faith, but humility is a part of it. Be willing to recognize here's where we are. I admit it. They're down there. They're living in a wicked place. Part of the reason is because I brought him. I can't change that, but you're God. The Lord did everything he could do to change it. There's nothing more powerful he could have done to touch Lot than to send two divine beings to be there. Oh, Lord, visit my children. Send your angels to visit my children. That's the most powerful thing that any of us have got. There is a way to pray that down. Isn't it valuable? And I have this also to add to my little discourse this morning. When you're young and you're looking down the journey, God's got a different view on your life than you have. I remember when I was courting Roberta, I had the gospel in mind. I have a testimony that I told her before I married her. The Lord felt like the Lord wanted me to be a minister, but I didn't understand very much about it. I was trying to be happy. I wanted her because I was in love with her. It took the Lord to look beyond that. You know, he does the same. He will do the same with us, each of us. And if we, when you're in those places in your life and you're young and you're looking into the future, please be wary, because the devil would like to impose on you some decisions, maybe based on sentiment, like probably Abraham's was, that can impact the rest of your life and hurt you. And keep you from fulfilling what the Lord wanted you to be. The best thing any of us can do in our souls is to obey the voice of the Lord. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And hear the promise, I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. There it is. So if you've had a lot or two in your life, Abraham didn't make only that mistake. If you've had a lot or two in your life, be honest about it. Some of the hardest places I've seen people get into trying to serve the Lord is when they have made a decision like that somewhere, but they won't admit it. Won't admit it was a mistake. And try to uphold it. Try to back Lot. Lot gets unbackable after a while. You just can't do it. Try to justify yourself in it. Abram, you should have done what the Lord told you to, and that's all there is to it. Drop every other defense. Then the Lord can work with it. Some of the hardest places I've seen people get into or when they fail to do that. And the second thing is, I can't emphasize this enough either. Thank you so much for the card to save your attention, your prayers this morning. Be careful in your young life. When you're starting out, please be careful. The old devil would like to persuade you somewhere into making a decision more serious than this one was. Lot could get away from Abraham, from each other, and Abraham could still go on and be blessed. You're not careful in your marriage, you can get in a place that it's a hard road. Get caught in some of the other decisions. Get wrapped up in too much debt, even. It's hard to serve the Lord like you want to when you owe everybody you know. Credit cards eating you alive and things of that sort. Be careful. Be careful because the devil's got a place out there to trap you. So many other ways. I don't want to try to spend too much time there. But I'd like to encourage every one of us. The Lord wants to give you a vision of your life for Him. He has a unique life for every one of us. Tailor-made for you. And it's the happiest way you can live. If you'll seek His face to follow that, it's fulfilling. You can be an Abraham. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.